You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Everything has just gone wonky. We just found the story about, I did not know this until just now, about Marsha Blackburn and her Twitter thing being deleted. And boy, these people are just crazy. We'll just put this story up someplace else. But Marsha meant to hope for a big splashy launch, it says, for her campaign. But she used some language that is, or some allegations, or some references that were not necessarily appropriate. She's trying to make a splash and be a real fighter. And, okay, well, politics is, I do not understand why anybody would want to be in this game, unless maybe you're the mayor of a town like this who's trying to do well, like Jim is, and is making progress that we hope people are seeing. The crime issues must haunt him in the night. His email of Friday referenced some bad times last week, and this past weekend there were some more bad. It's just bad news, and it must make him want to beat his head against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that you can't just sprinkle fairy dust and make all the bad people go away. But in the interim, I suppose you just have to carry on and refer to, as he does, the many people that are trying to contain this. But there's a bunch of dumb, bad people in the world, and you can't make them all just stop.
Well, the point of that email from last week is sort of, twofold. One is, look, here are all the things we're doing to reduce violent crime in the long term, which we've talked about and we've emailed about, and I don't have to go back over those. But there has to be some, like, you got to meet us halfway sometimes too, right? A couple of the instances that the mayor pointed out, and you have it in front of you, but, an 18-year-old shoots the 12-year-old brother of his 16-year-old girlfriend, and a lot of these sort of deeply interpersonal conflicts, family issues, whatever it may be, that no matter how many police officers, that you hire, and we're rebuilding that. I think we've gone over that before. No matter how many you hire, you're not going to be in that home at that moment to, quote unquote, fix that problem, to prevent that. And so there's so much that, there's, as the mayor, I think the mayor's words were, and yes, parenting is involved. Yes, personal responsibility is involved. And, if we're going to come together as a community to really address this crime issue, I think everyone's got to be pulling their weight.
Well, there are. It's hard to know anymore what to even say about this. We've been through. We have so many different. There are groups and coalitions, and there are churches, and there are meetings, and there are town hall meetings, and there are those trying to calm the fears of those who live in fear of being shot and killed, and even those that are in safe neighborhoods, whatever that means anymore, are afraid. And these random shootings at car washes and the endless stuff, all the coalitions in the world and all the optimism and positivity about just all this unity towards let's all fight crime. The police can't go door to door, round the clock, every day, making sure everybody's okay. This is not the only city. Let's run past this once again in America that has these problems. There are drug problems on the street that drive this. It's what's killing Chicago. This happens in Baltimore. It's been happening in St. Louis. They got a mess up there.
St. Louis's murder rate is double ours.
And they've,
I wonder if people realize that.
I don't think so. And they're over time. Is it about $3 million for the past couple of months?
It was
2.6 over the weekend because of all of these bad things, because that city is essentially two different cities, and they have had some real bad problems downtown St. Louis, which is a gorgeous place. We've been there a lot, and dined and all of that, but These crime issues are quite concerning. And then you can kind of, you know, cross-pollinate all of that with, you know, gun ownership in America. And we're all afraid. That's why we've all got about five guns each. And you end up with this blob of confusion. And what do we do now? Mm-hmm. You know? And it requires, I think, some kind of a patient hand and a mind to guide us through all of this. But, geez, there are times there just aren't any answers. And the smartest mayor on earth can't just make this go away.
Yeah, I think there's some data points worth sharing at this point. We're actually off our pace from last year. And by off, I mean in a good way. We're down from last year in terms of homicides. It's a little bit, there's no comfort in that because, as the mayor pointed out, the only acceptable homicide rate is zero. You know, I think if you look at the rates, like the top 10 homicide rates in the country, I think we're in the bottom half of that. I mean, like I mentioned St. Louis and some others, but again, you go back to zero is the only one that really matters. I think sometimes people look at that and take some, well, you know what, it's worse somewhere else, so I'm not going to worry about it as much. And that's wrong. I think that, and in his words, I'm going to paraphrase them, but, you know, we need all of Memphis to come together and get just as mad and just as motivated to drastically reduce violent crime as we're working on at City Hall, and so many good people are working on in so many communities.
But so what does the average person do? Sit on their front porch with a shotgun?
I do not recommend that course of action.
Hey, it's worked before back in the country where you and I come from.
Yeah, that's
how we roll, baby.
Look, the real long-term answer to reducing violent crime is making sure that young folks pick the right path, right? The good news there, to answer your question, the good news there, Drake, is that there are ways you can intervene. There are ways you can go one-on-one. You know, there's so many ways probably with your own church and your own community group, and there's so many people doing great things. And if you don't have that outlet, we ask that you mentor a young person, as we talked about for a year now. Studies have shown that young folks who have the positive influence of an older person in their life are dramatically, the percentage is dramatically higher, like 55% higher to have good outcomes, to go to college, whatever it may be. And the other one is the program that Shelby County Schools has of getting in there and reading to a second grader. And you think, mm-hmm. Well, what is that? Why are you bringing that up when it comes to crime or whatever? It's not so much crime as it is showing opportunity. The studies have shown that if you are reading at a third grade level in third grade, then your percentage of being able to graduate high school, go to college, go to trade school, whatever it may be, is also drastically higher than if you are not reading at that level in third grade. You start falling behind and the domino effect, and then you get really far behind and school doesn't become,
well, sure,
you know, all that thing.
Yeah,
and those are simple, tangible ways that, to answer your question, how people can get involved.
But
and
many people
are.
Just think that this is not my problem. My kids are fine. I have a nice house and a nice job. And so I'm not worried about your poverty and your lack of a father. And that's not my concern. But the fact is that it is all of our concerns. Mm-hmm. But there's no immediate way to hop in your car and go around and knock on doors and fix everything. These issues, it took time for us to get here. It takes time for us to get out of here. But likely this will take a long, long time. I know that it is of great concern in this town that heading toward the 50th year on April 4, 2018, mm-hmm. that some progress be shown that is, once again, a tangible, you know, turnaround in some of these ugly things. But, you know, once again, this is not the only place they happen. And unfortunately, we see this on TV. You can turn your eyes to it right now, and there it is. And it's, as long as this is, the word isn't glorified, but it is endlessly magnified by the media of this town, which doesn't do anybody any good. And I don't know, you know, what these people can do. It's a, And the news yesterday that the poverty level is even worse than it was last year. So to be the mayor of this town and to do these things is a real challenge. And there are no answers, I guess, immediately, but except just to keep plugging away.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these things that you talk about are, I think the thing that you go back to, people elected this mayor just like they elect every official to put in long-term solutions to issues we've faced for a long time, not Band-Aids here and there or a press conference and be done with it. And I think if you look at what's happened is, and I don't, you know, we can go over it over and over, but the things that have been done for youth, things that have been done inside our neighborhoods, so many good things going on in like community centers and libraries, et cetera.
There are.
And then rebuilding the police department. I mean, that's the kind of thing that does it show up on the crime stat today? I guess not. But if you don't do it, it shows up for a long time to come.
Well, it's been pretty quiet as it regards police and fire. Our guest is Kyle Vesey from the mayor's office. I haven't heard anybody raising hell about unions and not enough cops, not enough firefighters. I've heard that seemingly has quieted the past couple of months.
Well, it's not negotiation time.
So I guess there's no need to ask for anything.
And I'll say this. Remember from, it's 8 months ago now, had that announcement of the $6.1 million grant that had the retention bonuses for the police officers. Do you remember that? I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
Retention bonuses for police officers.
Yes.
There were 699 officers in that group that were eligible. 80% of them signed up. That's...
What does that mean?
Incredibly positive news.
In real life terms.
That means that they've signed up to get a bonus once a year, every 4 years, if they commit to staying for those 4 years.
Okay.
Which is a sign of, you know, some stability.
Confidence and growth.
The attrition rate for officers is continuing to slow from where it was, 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I think that 185 officers left 4 years ago. And I think right now, I don't know what the projected landing of that is, but it's going to be a lot less than that.
Well, progress, I suppose. I mean, it's this doesn't change in the course of a week or a month or a year or a term of a mayor. It's a big picture gig, but I guess there are some things that are. Encouraging.
There are some foundational things.
And Jim is trying the best he can. There are many things to point to that are, you know, good news. What did I have over here? Oh, yeah, this thing here to benefit part-time employees was a pretty nice touch. What's the point of this? City to begin offering benefits to part-time employees was the headline. To be more progressive and innovate employers, the city will be offering some benefits to its part-time employers. What is the impetus for that, and what's the point?
Well, the point is that the part-time employees, I don't know how many there are, the part-time employees are just as important to delivering what we do.
20 you know, more hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, so to be able to incentivize the part-time employees that, you know, hey, we have something here for you as well, and it's not just an hourly wage. So that you can continue to keep, you know, a good part-time workforce and just, at the end of the day, just do right by people.
Memphis became the first city in the country to offer student loan repayment assistance as a benefit for full-time employees, earning national coverage by outlets like Time Magazine, CNN, Money, and Forbes and CNBC. Late last year, the city found a way to give retiree health insurance by using a private exchange, thus allowing the return of the subsidies to help pay for coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever talks about the good stuff.
We do.
That's you and I do. That's pretty good.
But
no one's listening to us, so who cares?
I remember very vividly the first.
That's a good story, right?
One of the first stories, because I don't want to paint myself in a box here, and I'm already down that road.
I'll go ahead.
One of the first stories about the return of healthcare subsidies. After 2 years of this coverage about, you know, this is a major hole, we need to fix this, so we come forth and we fix it. One of the very first stories in in the media, and I'm just going to be very vague about it, was about how much of a conflict this was and how some people are angry about it. And you're like, well, you know, if you can't, it just sort of makes you throw your hands up that everything, when you do something that is genuinely a very positive development,
yeah,
and that's what you see in certain outlets, it makes you very angry sometimes. And you're right. That has not gotten maybe as much coverage as it should, but you've talked about it.
I never heard about it until right then. And that's the problem.
We've talked about it. Now, we've talked about that a couple times. Probably not as much as the bigger issue. You're probably right.
Well, I just know that I can, there are some nights when there is a lot of, there's a, you know, bunch of stuff that is going on nationally, internationally, and I get stuck in my office, you know, chair, going back and forth to various news networks,
mm-hmm,
and I'll fall into that trap on the weekend sometime, and I have visions of flying away and never coming back because the news coverage, and I will not give anybody the credit for the phrase fake news, but the media can really misdirect the goodness that is going on in the world by pounding the pee out of the bad stuff. It happens locally. It happens nationally. It happens in print. It happens on cable news especially. And they can pound something into the ground and totally ignore the optimistic and the positive, if it even exists. And this day in politics, it's hard to find that. Now, locally, I don't see anything on local news pretty much about Jim Strickland or about anything positive going on. They're too busy with bloodshed and shooting people.
Well, first off, I don't watch cable news, thankfully, so I'm going to have to like pull you out of that quagmire.
I really try not to. I go to the silliest, dumbest stuff I can find, or I don't know.
Here's the thing that sitting in this chair has shown to me. Newt Gingrich is on TV. I know you're very happy about
that. Yeah, I just gave him the finger.
I wish we had her on video right now.
Yeah, me too.
The thing that sitting in this chair, not this actual chair, but having this job, has shown me that maybe more than ever is just sort of the bad outcomes of false equivalence. And remember, President Obama used to talk about that a lot. You have a thing that's happened, and there's a mass of people who are like, yeah, this is a good thing. And then over here, you have a few people who are just mad, and they don't like it because that's just how they are.
They're always mad.
Then in the paper or on the TV or whatever it may be, those two sides are presented equally. Now, I think President Obama had it a little different in that, you know, kind of in sort of a, I may be paraphrasing here, but like in climate change, for instance, all the scientific evidence says climate is changing because of man. And then there's some folks over here who don't want to believe that. And in the news, they would be given equal 50-50. Here's what one side said, and here's what the other side said. Well, what if, you know, that's where I challenge back on the journalists and on the editors to say, part of your job as a gatekeeper is to determine to some degree
the truth
and sort of the validity of sides to determine what you're actually presenting to the public before you even do it. There's just sort of a reflex of person A said this, so we have to have person B saying that, and they're presented equally and the public sees it. And over time it looks like it's sort of a 50-50 proposition.
Well,
and it's not.
That's a really good point. And that's why when I sit here every day with these pieces of paper everywhere and several newspapers and various, you know, screens pulled up here and CBS Morning News on, I try to make darn sure that what I am, you know, referencing has a modicum of truth to it. And that somebody hasn't just made this up, but, you know, surely somebody will dispel that. Now, right now on CBS News is Newt Gingrich, who is trying his best in his senile old man way to explain what's going on with this current mess in the White House. Good luck, pal. but it's all about the Corker clash. So suddenly this man, Bob Corker, who was on the list to be vice president, is the devil. And so they've drugged Newt out of his coffin and put his ass up here to make all this make sense. And he's babbling about God knows what. It's a no-win situation. And the media, I don't trust them.
Except for David Waters, who's in the other room right now, and we all love him.
Him I trust, and I try to trust myself. And I try to find to look at everything else and then lay out here what there is. But even this show up here, which seemingly is a real news show, why did they drag out Newt Gingrich, for Christ's sake? He's the former House Speaker. Great.
That's the thing. First off, shout out to Bob Corker. Secondly, do you think that the producers at CBS, what is the name of the show? CBS This Morning, Charlie Rose thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they said, you know, let's have someone on to present a responsible, nuanced view, and let's find someone? Or did they just say, well, Newt Gingrich, he was once Speaker of the House, put him on camera? Like, was there a thought process around what they're presenting, or did they just say, here's a shiny little ball over here, let's chase that? I don't know. I'd like to think they thought it through. But if you look at some of the stuff Newt Gingrich says lately,
I would question his relevance at a time like this.
Good word.
I don't think he has anything to do with any of this, nor does he know what's going on. There are times he's said some fairly interesting things, but I think now it's the Iran deal coming. Why is the Iran deal? Well, that is a pretty pertinent thing right now. But
I was really wondering what Newt Gingrich had to say about it.
But who cares what Newt Gingrich thinks about anything? It's a whole different world. But you're never going to get a straight story. Why they drag him on is a bit of a conundrum to me. But the Newtster's been around for a bit, so he can talk trash with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he is right now, and we're enjoying it. And
and the thing is, we have no idea what he's saying. He could be the most reasonable person on that set.
No, I'm reading the...
Oh, you're reading the closed caption.
Closed caption. So I don't know. These people, I think I would choose a different line of work and just get out of the business and go away. Thank you. We will fight the good fight on your behalf. And
right.
So did you not shave this morning, or are we going for a new look?
Not really. I was at
winter
the beach.
Time's coming.
We had a
Grizzly Adams deal
vacation over the weekend, and I didn't shave because you're on vacation. And then woke up this morning and was just like, you know what? Let's just roll this till Drake makes fun of me.
You represent the mayor, and I'm sure that this morning he is clean shaven and smelling sweetly of Old Spice.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah.
And here you are, all scruffed
ruffian.
Out.
Look, all I'm going to do today
You're trying to be a contrarian.
I'm gonna
I can feel that.
Shut the door to my office and get to work on like writing 10 different things. So the hermit look is kind of what I'm going for.
Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. Don't knock on my door.
I think you look
I got a lot to write. I don't know if you heard, Drake.
What?
This has not been in the news at all.
What?
The Tennessee Historical Commission meets Friday to talk about statues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
This is 11, 12, 13. That's Friday.
Friday the 13th. I'll be in Athens, Tennessee.
What did we have yesterday that made us all projectile vomit about statues?
The Columbus Day statues are being protested and in some cases taken down because people are associating him with the Confederacy of the United States.
What now?
Yesterday was...
right.
Well, now, Columbus was not exactly like a good guy or anything.
No, he was an ass. But there was a story about people wanting to take down statues or put up statues based upon your point of view. On Christopher frickin' Columbus, 1492. It's old news. It's out of the cycle. And so I thought, don't you have something better to do than bitch about a statue involving Christopher Columbus?
Didn't Mayor de Blasio in New York like come up with some commission to study Columbus Circle and the statue there? I mean, it's a, you know, that big tall.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Money well spent. Who cares?
I don't know what kind of, if he's getting blowback or what. I haven't really.
So what do you expect to happen Friday with his statue deal?
We're going to go, we're going to make our case, and we're going to see what happens. And I know that sounds like I was being kind of glib there, but that's just really
well,
the
no,
truth.
Well, no, I mean, so these 29 people.
Yep.
Oh, God, don't get me going on this.
No, I know.
So these knuckleheads are going to all gather together and get some pizza and figure this out?
Well, it's a breakfast meeting. So I suspect there'll be like
link sausage,
Chick-fil-A minis. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Chick-fil-A minis. Yeah, that's those things are so good, man.
Yeah, they are.
They're really good.
And they're good for you, too.
Yeah, they're really healthy.
They're
going to get together. It's on the agenda. The discussion about this is on the agenda.
To discuss or to decide the gosh damn thing.
I think the thing on the agenda says discuss. We're going to ask them to decide. And we're going to see.
Are you going to ask or are you going to tell them with?
Like, well, all we can really do is ask.
Luca Brasi and some more people and get this done.
I think it's just going to be like me and the mayor and Bruce McMullen, the city attorney. So if they don't fear us, then we're toast.
I think y'all should not shave at all, wear tank tops, and go in really pissed off.
Can I wear flip flops?
Yes.
I got a brand new pair.
Make a statement and ask Jim to do the very same thing.
So we're going to see what happens. And, regardless of what happens, our commitment to having these statues removed by April 4th of next year remains in place.
Okay, two sides to every story, man.
That false equivalence, Drake.
Watch it. No. There's two sides to every story, then there's the truth. But that's a whole different conversation. Kyle Veazey, I thank you for your patience
and
for your understanding of...
I'll go shave now.
No, I think you look good.
Oh, it's nice.
Just let it go for about a week. Wait till next Tuesday, and then we'll decide.
Okay, deal. That's a deal.
And we'll see what you can produce.
I don't have much confidence.
Well, because your kids, though, I mean, you got to keep shaving until it like really comes in. And then your, you know, Grizzly Adams and stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to go that far.
Okay. How's your wife like it?
I think she is neutral right now, but that will only turn for the worse.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.